Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome in, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan, and a happy National Radio Day to all of you. You know how there's like a waffle day and there's a
sugar cone day,
pencil day.
Today is
National Radio Day. You can join us in celebrating radio with a live broadcast of Chad Dukes versus the World at our District Live studios. He'll be downstairs from 2 to 6:30 with the live show. You can come watch in person. District Live, located at 1015 Half Street here in Southeast, just three blocks from Nationals Park. And Rhody Modern Mediterranean is providing free food for
guys
if you come watch. So, pretty cool deal. Quick little shout out to Winnie Feldman, who sent me circus peanuts.
Circus peanuts.
I talked the other day on the show about the nostalgia and the happiness that is provided whenever I see them and how much I loved them as a kid. And there I was opening a package here at the station, fearing the worst. You don't get very many packages sent to your name at the station. And it was circus peanuts. So thank you. It was very nice.
They are not exactly what I thought they were.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought I had a good feel for it. This is a conversation we had like 3 weeks ago.
And you let them off the hook.
And I let them off the hook. Yeah, we thought we were. Let them off the hook. You want to crack them? I didn't know they were this.
They're so good.
But now I see them. I'm just going to look at the package.
Yeah, please.
So you go ahead and do the show.
Yeah, all they are is delicious.
A lot of sugar up in there. That's what you want.
You should try one of those. 13-0 last night, the Nats beat the Pirates. We will start there today. We've got some other things to get into this hour. Darius Geis going to be green-lighted, according to Ian Rappaport. NFL Network's insider was with the Redskins yesterday, left the facility to say, A, that Case Keenum is projected to be their starting quarterback. We knew that. B, Darius Geis is going to play Thursday night against the Falcons in Atlanta. We did not know that. Also this hour, Ezekiel Elliott is upset with Jerry Jones, saying something he didn't like. And Jimmy Garoppolo was really bad last night, and there are some questions about him with the 49ers. So we'll get into all that in this first hour of the show. Sean Doolittle is scheduled to join us today at 11:45, his weekly Tuesday appointment, a little over an hour and a half from now. This is an important conversation with him as he has been placed on the injured list. And speaking of Doolittle, you and I were discussing yesterday who might be a good guest to get on to talk about what's going on with the Nats closer. How about a guy who's second all-time in appearances in Major League Baseball history to discuss bullpen usage? He's now an analyst who does pre and post and live games for the Astros, also works on MLB Network Radio. Mike Stanton's going to be on the show at 1 o'clock. Only Jesse Orosco ever pitched in more games in this sport than Mike Stanton.
Jesse Orosco pitched until he was 68 years old, numbers approximate.
Pretty sure that's
just
right.
Just sidewinding, cross-firing, uncomfortable at bats for left-handers.
I didn't know this. Looked it up last evening. I was just kind of curious about active appearances and who leads. You know, Fernando Rodney's pitched in more games than anybody else in the major leagues in their career.
That'd stand to reason, right?
I think K-Rod is second, and Tyler Clippard is fourth on that list, which is pretty stunning to me.
Come in for 64 games a year for 10 years. There you go, right?
13 years in at like 36 years old or whatever he is. But the Nats, 13 runs on 15 hits last night. What they are doing at this juncture is now officially unprecedented. They are on an all-time heater. I tweeted yesterday, I have never seen them this hot, and then it dawned on me, nobody ever has. They've never been this hot. 43 runs over three games, the most in franchise history. 62 runs in five games, most in team history, and the most by any club in the major leagues since the 2007 Yankees. 12 years ago, 63 runs. Now, some of this is the baseball. Some of this was the humidity at Nats Park, perhaps. A lot of this team is on fire, and just about everybody in the lineup's having good at-bats.
Yeah, it's that. And it includes, by the way, a crisp 2-1 pitcher's duel. Just shows you how funny this game is. I don't know if they're doing this in 2 weeks. I don't know if they're doing it in 3 weeks. I don't know if they're doing it in the playoffs. I know they're doing it right now, and it's fun. This is fun. So by the time I got my youngest son to bed last night, the Nats already had four runs. Like I'm able to come in and turn the game on, and I'm like, oh, let's see if Joe Ross has settled in. Let's see what's going on here. They've already got two homers in the first.
Missed the Matt Adams bomb.
They're already crushing it. It's unbelievable what this offense is doing right now.
Yeah, Kevin Long should get a lot of credit, by the way.
Yeah.
People were killing Kevin Long last year and early this season, and I've never really understood why. I'm not a huge proponent in hitting coaches or pitching coaches, for that matter, being the end-all, be-all. And so when a team is doing great, they're certainly part of it, but I don't know that they're the reason all of a sudden that everybody gets hot. Similarly, when the team is doing terribly in whatever role it is that they coach, they might be a part of it, a piece to this puzzle, but they're not the reason why everybody's stinking up the joint at the plate. But if you're going to club Kevin Long, which very loudly a faction of this fan base was for a while, it is time to throw some roses at his feet now. And I'm not exaggerating when I say everyone in the lineup is going in a way that they haven't most of the season. Adam Eaton's homered in three straight games and in four out of five.
Who is this? What person is this that's doing that?
Where did the power come from?
Just hitting bombs? That's what we do now?
Matt Adams, who had a multi-run homer and a big double last night. You can't take this guy out of the lineup when Ryan Zimmerman, who's rehabbing, comes back. And Trey Turner is swinging for more power right now than he has throughout much of his career. He killed another home run last night. Three-run shot for him made it 7-0.
Now the pitch. Swing by Turner and a belt to deep left field. Reynolds going back. Warning track. Wall looking up. It is gone. Goodbye. Bang. Zoom goes Trey Turner with a three-run home run. His 13th of the year. It'll give him 41 RBIs. And the Nationals just keep clubbing and clubbing the baseball.
It's insane. I mean, there's just not been a stretch like this. Forget all the home runs. You know, last night they were 6-for-9 with runners in scoring position. 6-for-9 with runners in scoring position. And I know the Pirates right now are horrific.
They're a hot tire fire.
They are so bad, and they were last night. It wasn't all good, though. Joe Ross got knocked out of the game when he was on autopilot in the fourth inning. He was cruising, and it looked like he was going to go deep into the game and save the bullpen. He gets hit with a comebacker, 110 miles an hour off the bat, off of his shin, upper shin. You hope he's okay and he doesn't have to go to the shelf and basically can pitch in 5 days, because he was on pace for what would have been a fourth win in four starts and a fourth straight really good outing. But this is the way things are going for the Nats. He leaves. Javi Guerra, who you demoted a couple weeks ago and brought back, gets summoned from the bullpen without warming up, gets his warm-up tosses on the hill, and then he proceeds to throw 3 2/3 perfect innings. So you had a combined 7 innings from Ross and Guerra. You only had to use your bullpen for really one inning of guys that matter last night, and that was Tanner Rainey in the 9th.
The unsung hero of what's happened here over the last week is Javi Guerra. You touched on it. Demoted, basically. And he was asked the other day, what are the feelings, what are the thoughts? I'm just so happy to be up here. I'm just so happy to be back. Over the last, I want to say, he pitched 3 innings on Saturday, 3 innings on Wednesday, and then 3 2/3 last night. So over the last 6 days plus, nugget from Dan Colco, he's thrown 9 2/3 innings and 142 pitches.
Crazy.
That's Javi Guerra, right? So that there's nothing sexy about the outings he's had, right? Whether it's extra innings, he got that loss against, gave up the homer to Thames. Then he comes in yesterday for mop-up duty where he throws very well. Saving your bullpen. And there's a chance he doesn't make the postseason roster. And there's a chance he's replaced here in a couple weeks, if and when Ryan Zimmerman comes back, or once Max Scherzer comes back. These are the little stories, the little blips on the radar, where when you have something magical going on, it's guys that shouldn't be doing it are doing it. So Javi Guerra has thrown basically a complete game over three different times accumulated 9+ innings over 6 days and about 145 pitches to save this bullpen.
Juan Soto, 4 hits, 4 runs, on base 5 times last night in a 4-for-4 performance. Juan Soto is just on another level right now. I know that he has to agree to a contract and that his agent Scott Boras has to advise him to do so, and that neither of those two things would probably happen, but the Nationals should make every attempt. They should do everything they can to get an extension done with him this offseason. I suggested on Twitter yesterday, I just threw out random numbers. I said 10-175, and a lot of people said that ain't going to cut it. Okay, fine. How about 10-200? 10-225. He's going to turn down $200 million when he makes $500,000 and he was in the Dominican 3 years ago. I find that hard to believe. Now, maybe he would. You want to bet on yourself. You want to have the risk of a serious injury, which a week ago he almost had one, and in the minors he's had one. Okay, but all I can ask the Nationals to do is do everything you can. I didn't want them to re-sign Bryce Harper, but they didn't do everything they could to keep him either, which I'm glad about.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Rendon, in my opinion, is walking this offseason. I don't think he's coming back. They haven't done everything they can to keep Anthony Rendon, in my opinion. Now, if you do everything you can to get a deal done with Juan Soto this offseason, commendable, happy about that, great. But unless you offer him a mega extension worth all the money that keeps him from hitting free agency in 25, then it stands to reason I can kind of question what we're doing here. At some point,
yeah, what's the process?
I need to not keep grooming Scott Boras's clients for their next team. And this would be a good time to start, because this guy is going to be better than Harper and maybe better than Rendon.
I mean, right now, he's incredible. I shudder to think of what he'll be like in 3, 4, 5 years.
He's 20.
Yeah, he's 20 years old.
He is 20.
There's a list of three guys in the history of the game that have done what he's done at this stage, just in terms of homers, let alone the walks, the patience, the hits, the entire tools, set of tools.
We might finally get to see Darius Geist, Danny.
In a football game?
It might happen. Next, right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Darius Geist made his preseason debut with the Redskins in 2018 on August 9th. Almost exactly 1 year ago against the New England Patriots. He had 6 carries for 19 yards in that game. Would have been a much more impressive line. His best carry was actually called back via injury, and on that run, he ended up tearing his ACL, and he was lost for the entire season in that first week of the preseason. He did not play against the Browns in Cleveland, and he did not get on the field against the Bengals at home in the 23-13 loss this past Thursday night. As of yesterday, while talking with reporters, Jay Gruden at the podium said they're waiting on the green light, that he hadn't been cleared, that there was a chance he could play on Thursday, but he was not committing to that and certainly didn't make it sound like it was definite. Then Ian Rappaport came to town with the NFL Network crew and spent the day getting information from the Redskins and doing his due diligence as a national reporter. And when he left, one of the notes he had coming out of Redskins camp was, the tentative plan is for running back Darius Geist, knee surgeries, to get some work in the preseason game against the Falcons on Thursday.
That's really good news.
It'll likely be his only action in the preseason, but getting some contact before the regular season would be important. So we've all known all along he wasn't going to play in the fourth preseason game. I don't think anyone who really matters to this team a whole lot is going to. You're basically going to shut down somewhere between 20 to 30 guys in that game, I would guess. Geist will be one of them. So if he doesn't play in 2 days, he will not play at all and will not take a tackle on that knee before the regular season, which I don't like. It sounds like he's going to get run against the Falcons, according to Rappaport. And I am with you, and I will echo your sentiments. This is a big deal, and it's a big thing.
Here's why it's good news. It puts to bed the, at least in this specific case, the medical thing. Because, again, you add up the sum total of their medical issues where a guy is supposed to be fine and he's not fine, the multiple follow-up surgeries for and procedures for multiple people, the Trent Williams complaint, et cetera. Geist was in that column. A guy that was supposed to be fine, wasn't fine, and now we have to ask the questions, right? Whether it was that they were just being cautious or not, you can't look at it that way now just because of what else is going on with other guys in their building. The fact that he's able to go is what I care about. I don't care about necessarily the prognosis for the season. I don't care about how they're going to split carries. I care about the fact that you no longer get to put the Darius Geist ain't right, and he's not cleared in the Redskins can't get their medical thing right column anymore. That's exciting to me. I'm happy about that for the player and for that discussion.
Yeah, I think it does. It puts to bed. I think that's well said. It ends any speculation that there's something larger mm-hmm. afoot and that this wasn't just the plan or maybe an easing back in. Because if they would have said before the preseason started, listen, guys, Darius Geis is super important to us, short and long term. Whether or not he gets 5 carries against the Browns and another 6 carries against the Bengals is not really going to matter all that dramatically in his development. We're just going to keep him in more controlled settings at practice where he's not being tackled, where that knee's not getting twisted up as he's going to the ground for another couple of weeks. And then these couple weeks played out. I think everyone would have said, that's prudent, that's smart, no problem. It's the preseason, no reason to get that guy hurt. But they didn't necessarily do it that way, and I'm not faulting him for that, but they basically said nothing about his preseason plan. And then after that first preseason game, said that he hasn't been cleared, which was
a fairly
alarming thing. But it could have just been the master plan all along. You know how I feel about him. I genuinely believe he is as vital to this offense this year maybe as anybody, even at a position that's kind of a dime a dozen as running back is at this juncture. Second-year player at LSU at 22 years old just has a playmaking ability that they sorely lack. It's the equivalent to me of like something in your refrigerator there's nothing else like. You're going to need at some point. It's just a nice little change of pace, essentially. You have a bunch of big plodding, Samaje Perine, Adrian Peterson to some extent, running backs that are physical, that can wear people down. You got a bunch of guys in your passing game that can catch passes, but that aren't particularly dynamic after the play. He's the one guy in this offense that I think could actually strike some fear into opponent. Like, when you're game planning, dating back to high school, they just throw a number at you in practice. They go, hey, you guys got to know about 14. That guy gets the ball, we got to rally. We got to get hats toward him. We got to get him to the ground. There's no number you throw out with the Redskins. Like, who's the guy that we got to rally to? I mean, you got to slow down Peterson, obviously. That might happen naturally at some point this year based on his age. Certainly looked good in his one run to start the game against the Bengals at home. But I think you're going to hear 29 with the Redskins. He's scary when he's got the football in space. They just don't have other guys like that.
The closest to that, at least out of the backfield, is Chris Thompson. I mean, you're going to...
Right.
You're going to have to make sure you're sound when you deal with Adrian Peterson, because if you have any kind of 60%, 75% type tackle, he'll run through it and make you look stupid. So I just don't know. That's my biggest thing with Geis, is I just don't know. I know what people have said. I know how excited everybody is, and I thought we put a gold jacket on the guy before anything happened. I would love for him to demonstrate that he will catch passes out of the backfield. He didn't do that, really, at LSU. He had 32 catches in 3 years. At LSU, and his high was 18 for just over 100 yards. Nothing special about that. Now, part of that is LSU's offense, hates forward progress. But I'm hoping that everybody's right, because to me, I would love to see the production before we start talking about how important he is and how vital he is. I'd like to get through a preseason. I'd like to get through 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 10 weeks before we start talking there. I look at the surrounding circumstances and the context. Adrian Peterson didn't come back to just be a 6-carry-a-game guy. You've got Chris Thompson. You drafted Bryce Love. I'm hoping that was just insurance and that Geis will be just fine, and we'll speak about this conversation anecdotally and laugh.
The round that they took Love in is just you just take the guy that you think has the best value on the board. I don't think that had anything to do with Geis. I think your point on Peterson's correct. He didn't come back to not be on the field and not carry the ball. They're going to split carries. But it doesn't take 22 carries to hit a hole and rip one for 61 yards, which I think he has the capability of doing. Peterson is a wear-you-down, needs touches, gets better as the game goes along type running back.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Darius Geis is the kind of guy who he could turn. It's not going to be Nick Chubb, 3 carries for 105 and 2 touchdowns or whatever he had last year. But he could turn 9 carries into a game-changing amount of contribution. But, yeah, you want to see it first, but there's a lot of quarterbacks that were just drafted around the league and running backs that were drafted last year, Saquon Barkley, who you made plans for before they did anything. I'm not telling you he's Barkley. He's not. That's a special Hall of Fame-type talent. I think Geis is more just going to be in a class of really good. But I am jacked up to see him, and I do think he has a chance to help this team in a way that there's just not many guys on that offense who can. Speaking of really good running backs, though, have you seen what's going on in Dallas with Ezekiel Elliott lately?
Oh, yeah. I love this. I love it.
Jerry Jones said something about Zeke that has really annoyed his running back and his agent to the point where they had to go on a little media tour yesterday to say, we're upset. Next on Grant and Danny.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Pollard's your best negotiator with Zeke.
Who? Pollard.
That Zeke who?
He's got your camera.
Steve.
He got your camera.
We're having some fun. Not at your expense.
Jerry Jones doing a set at the DC Improv, apparently.
Listen, you hear those good old boys yucking it up?
Oh, Jerry, now you've done it. Oh,
I can't believe he went there. He took the car down that road. He went right there, and he got out the car and stayed there. Unbelievable, Double J. You get him, buddy.
That was one of the biggest laughs and pops for a bad joke by a team owner I've ever heard in my life.
Because here's what should have happened. No, seriously, what's going on? My hand hurts from slapping my knee. I used my other hand to slap the other knee. Double J, you on fire today, brother. Go ahead. Get down the line.
That was something. Can I hear that one more time, if you would,
Tommy? Listen to the guffawing.
I mean, basically, by the way, the Zeke who line in and of itself.
Zeke who?
Fine. I mean, it's not particularly funny. It's not unfunny. It's just a comment, and I get it. I get what he's doing. He's making a joke at Zeke's expense after Tony Pollard played well. But then the laughter.
Well, look at it now. The video's on TV now. It just so happens in the studio, in our studio. Look at, I mean, the one guy rolled away. So the guy who asked the question had to do a, oh, my God, like kind of like roll away from the seat.
Zeke who?
That guy.
He's got your camera.
He's got your camera.
We're having some fun.
Everybody's having a good time.
I have some knock-knock jokes I'll be doing later on. Jackass.
That was something. Well,
he's got young camera.
He does. He's got young camera. I got a feeling we might hear that again at some point in the future.
He's got young camera.
But Ezekiel Elliott was not happy about it. Was not amused by the Zeke who quip from his owner Jerry Jones. This is his agent Rocky Arsenault on ESPN Monday afternoon. Quote: I didn't think it was funny. Neither did Zeke. We actually thought it was disrespectful. The Cowboys owner, after saying Zeke, who clarified, cracking a joke at Zeke's expense. That's a good thing to do during a holdout,
well,
I guess.
We'll make it humorous statements here. I need some attention later on, too.
Here is what needs to be said, though, is Tony Pollard's playing well. They drafted Tony Pollard out of Memphis in the fourth round. The 6-foot, 215-pound running back rushed for 51 yards on the Cowboys' first drive. On Saturday, it ended in a 14-yard touchdown run. He was great. Their offense looked really sharp. And coming out of that game, the reason that Jerry Jones said that was he was actually asked, is Tony Pollard your best leverage? Is he your best negotiational ploy that he's playing so well? This is something we have talked a lot about this offseason. Ezekiel Elliott, in my opinion, is the kind of guy that should hold out, right? Trent Williams has been paid. He's holding out for more money despite being one of the highest paid players in the league, having already got a $100 million contract. Or I should say $100 million from the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel Elliott has not been paid, is overworked based on his salary.
You're going to give him 400 touches.
Is the type of guy, yeah, you get 6 years in this league at a high level at running back maybe, you might as well make as much money as you can as soon as you can. No problem with his holdout. But understand that at the running back position, you don't have the leverage that you think you do or should all the time. And specifically, Danny, in Dallas, they have maybe the best offensive line in football this year. They've had, over the last 3-4 years running, the best offensive line operation in the sport. Before Ezekiel Elliott, DeMarco Murray was going nuts.
Ran for near 2,000 yards.
When Alfred Morris, I should say, got a shot, Although Albert Haynesworth might have some success behind that line as well.
He could run for 100 yards a game.
With Alfred Morris got his crack at it, he played really well. It really hasn't mattered who they put back there. You name the running back, they've churned out yards, and the longer Ezekiel Elliott holds out, the risk becomes that Tony Pollard could make it look like maybe this isn't about you, Zeke.
Yeah, and listen, Zeke Elliott is better than those guys.
He's great.
I have always said that. He is better than those other guys. I also think he's the most overrated player in the NFL. The offensive line is so dominant, and they're so good, they're going to run it against everybody. We just act like it's this weird mirage that Alfred Morris is able to do it, or DeMarco Murray is able to do it, or the third-string guy is able to step in and do it. But Ezekiel Elliott's better than those guys. So it's one of those things where he should be holding out. He should get more money. But the idea that they can't live without him, I think, is silly. Does that make sense? I think there's a happy medium. Right? Where Stephen Jones, by the way, I wonder how disrespectful this was, if Zeke and his agent thought this was disrespectful. Yeah, well, Todd Gurley is the baseline for the contract, which he said a couple weeks ago. Was that disrespectful to make you one of the highest paid players in the league? Was it disrespectful that they, you know, trot you out there and went to bat for you when you had the domestic violence incident or alleged incident and Jerry Jones was stumping all over the country for you to make sure everyone knew that you were innocent and they loved you and you were a great guy and you turned your life around and all that? I wonder if that was disrespectful too. Anyway. He should be holding out. He should want more money, and he should get it. But the idea they can't live without him, I think there's a line where they should be meeting where both sides leave a little salty.
And that's where I would say he shouldn't get what he thinks he should.
Mm.
He should get a raise substantially. He should be one of the higher-paid running backs in the league.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
But there is a real question that needs to be answered and a real conversation that needs to be had. And maybe now's the time with Melvin Gordon still holding out in L.A. with the Chargers, and Ezekiel Elliott not having shown up at Cowboys camp and now into their midway point of the preseason. Should you pay top dollar for a running back? I think that the types of guys that you should pay that money to, if you're going to, are Le'Veon Bell, who's unbelievable in the passing game as well and basically is a receiver and a running back, which was the problem with his negotiation with Pittsburgh. He wanted to be paid like a number one running back and a number one or two wide receiver, essentially. That's not really how it works.
There's no precedent for that.
But if you're going to pay it back, he needs to be able to influence games in the passing game as well as the running game. People don't realize, I don't think, that last year Ezekiel Elliott was a fixture as a receiver.
He near 80 passes.
77 balls for almost 600 yards.
That, to me, lets you know that he's the complete story.
And they don't throw to him enough, by the way.
I know.
All the analytics guys like Warren Sharp that we have on, people who follow football from a numbers standpoint for a living, they've been beating the drum to throw the ball to Ezekiel Elliott for 2 years. They finally did, and they still say they don't do it enough.
Yeah, because especially early down where you're using him as a battering ram and everybody knows it's coming. And it's a wonderful romantic thing to say, we're going to wear the defense down. We're going to be physical downhill. Well, the most efficient thing you can do is throw to him and throw to running backs on early downs. And the teams that know it, like Kansas City, somehow miraculously put up 40-plus points a game and are unstoppable on offense because they're always ahead of the chains.
Suddenly, the lack of communication with the Redskins and Trent Williams and the fact that they're not really talking about him and he's not talking about them seems like it's not the worst thing ever.
That's a good point.
When Jerry
I don't want Dan
Jones
Snyder
goes,
cracking jokes.
Zeke who? And then Zeke and his agent say that he's upset. In other words, yesterday, if after a good Donald Penn practice, Dan Snyder, or it would have been Bruce, let's be honest.
Well, Trent who? Got it? What I did there?
You guys still think we need Trent? You see what Donald Penn's doing? Have I mentioned that he played with the Bucks when I was there?
Jerry Christian.
We got Jaron. Who needs Trent? I could see something like that happening, Actually. It won't be long. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Preseason football, when your team's not playing, it's gotten really, really, really hard to watch. It's time to shrink this thing a couple games, as you and I have been saying for years. Last night, Jimmy Garoppolo stunk up the joint. I want to talk about him for a second.
Might be a little bit of a show out there.
G&D on the Fan.
He's got your camera.
Where's my camera?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picking off Jimmy Garoppolo.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. 1 hour from now, Sean Doolittle's on the show. 2 hours from now, we're giving away Nats tickets. 3 hours from now, we're giving away tickets to Top Golf Crush at Nationals Park. Make sure you're listening. It was not a good night to be Jimmy Garoppolo last night. Not many nights have been good to be Jimmy Garoppolo on the field over the last year. He got hurt, out for the season early last campaign. He's been rehabbing since. He went 1 of 6 with that pick in a zero passing yard performance with a 0.0 quarterback rating last night. Jimmy Garoppolo got a 5-year contract for $137 million from the San Francisco 49ers.
Unbelievable.
$7 million signing bonus, $74 million guaranteed. Now, not all of that is the legitimate guarantee. Annual average salary of $27.5 million, according to SpotTrack. In 2019, his base salary is a little under $20 million. Cap hit of 19.4. Dead cap would have been like $13 million. Doesn't matter. He's the face of their franchise. And where he is able to take them, that's how far they're going. He's 27 now. He's been in San Francisco for a couple of years. You know, people talk about Kirk Cousins being overpaid or Matt Stafford or Derek Carr being overpaid. These guys have put up big numbers. Now, they haven't won, quote-unquote, quarterback wins, though. They haven't gotten their team deep into the playoffs. But Cousins is coming off the first quarterback year in the history of the league, 70% completion, 30 touchdowns, 10 or fewer picks, 4,000-plus yards. You got a scenario where you look at Derek Carr and where he's at compared to quarterbacks his age and touchdowns and yards, and he's right near the top of the list. Matt Stafford, year in and year out, he slings the ball around and puts up big numbers for the Lions and a lot of losses. Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't even have the numbers yet. He was in New England standing behind Tom Brady on the sideline, got onto the field and
went 2-0 that time.
Yeah, exactly. Played 6 games. They won his 2 starts. Then he came to San Francisco, and he was a backup for most of his first season there. When he did play at the end of the season, they started playing a lot better. He played okay. They were 5-0 in his 5 starts, but that's a great example of they were winning and he was fine, but they didn't win because of him. He had 7 touchdowns and 5 picks. His quarterback rating was in the mid-90s. He did nothing wrong, but it's not like he had 16 touchdowns and an interception. And then they paid him after that offseason. What is he famous for at this point? Being Brady's backup? They paid him like he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, you look at his Pro Football Reference page, and it's funny, it lists him as a 2-time Super Bowl champion.
Huh.
I guess. I mean, he was in the room while they won the Super Bowl. It's now or never time for Jimmy Garoppolo, or else he might get Kyle Shanahan and that staff blown out.
Yeah, they bet big on it. And it just shows you still how far we have to go to get rid of, in sports, the people that don't know any better. Because the reason he's never brought up with those other guys who are overpaid, okay? And you could argue that Cousins is overpaid or Carr's overpaid or Stafford's overpaid. I'm fine with that. Let's have that conversation. You pay for great and those guys are merely pretty good, right? The reason he never gets brought up is because he started 7-0. He started 7-0. It's QB wins. And it infiltrates everything and everybody. Even people that are really smart about this game can't get past that for some reason, right? I think of all those Philadelphia quarterbacks under Andy Reid for so many years, the A.J. Feelys of the world, right? You think even more recently, Nick Foles. When they leave that nest, when they leave the comfort of that offense, and they go somewhere else, the thought of, you know, hey, we're going to bring in this guy. A.J. Feely, I think, got a second-round pick from somebody. They stink, and we can't believe it. You're telling me that if somebody leaves New England with, you know, that system and Josh McDaniels and everybody, they're going to be worse somewhere else? Who would have thunk it? My hand should go up in the air, and so should everybody else's. They did. He started 5-0. That's what QB record says, right there on Pro Football Reference. He hasn't done anything special yet. Now, I think he's got tools. I think he could actually be very good, and that's somebody I would bet on, even with all the injuries, even with all the baggage and everything else. I like what I've seen from him, and I'm not going to overreact to a preseason sample, but this should be the first name that gets brought up when we talk about the quarterback market and how absurd it is and overpayment. It should be Jimmy Garoppolo, who's got 10 games of sample. Only 8 games of sample in 2-plus years in San Francisco for overpaid. What is that dude accomplished? That would be my response.
Yeah, he's accomplished nothing. But to your point, the teams that he's been on had some success and won early while he was a starter. And I think that's basically what happened is, look, part of why a guy like Kyle Shanahan was all in on him and some football people, John Lynch otherwise, wanted him is because of the skill set. It's the arm and what they see from a decision-making standpoint.
I love how athletic he is in the pocket. Yeah. I like how he moves around. I love his feet.
When he's right and it looks like he's playing a good football game, I mean, that's a enticing asset.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for a lot of people, they said, you got to sign this guy. He's a winner. He's 8-2 in his 10 decisions as a starter at this point. He's made 10 starts, played in 21 games. Think about that, though. He's 8-2 as a starter. He's made 10 starts in his entire career in 5 seasons, and he makes over $100 million. And mostly it's because when he played for New England, they won. You going to give Jacoby Brissett a lot of money, too? Now, San Francisco can point to the 5-game winning streak at the end of the year, but that whole team played better. He was certainly part of it, and I think he was influential in what they did. He influenced them. But, Danny, he has to perform now. Last night was ugly. And speaking of that, the preseason, I get up for these games. I get excited. I turn them on. I watch a quarter. The other night I was watching the Vikings and the Seahawks, and I thought that was a great first half of football.
Mm-hmm.
Really entertaining. Got me in the mood for football. I was jacked up. The second half of these games are completely unwatchable. I mean, they just are.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time where I loved like the third quarter, fourth quarter preseason games for the Redskins because I was on the beat. As I've gotten further away from the beat, I'm not at practice every day, and I don't get to know all of the players on the back
of the roster.
So
you don't know guy number 75 who's trying to make the team.
Even that's not as interesting. It's harder for me to pay attention and to care than it was a handful of years ago. I'm more kind of like the average fan now, I think, in the sense of I'm good after halftime on some of these games. But we can't have another August with 4 preseason games. The product for the league is just abysmal. I'm not even going to talk about the injuries, which is another factor that everyone cares about.
Uh-huh.
But you watch these games, and these stadiums are so empty, and all those seats are paid for.
Yeah, the market has told you what they are.
It's just brutal television. Mm-hmm. The networks are putting together their broadcast crews and putting in the work like this is the NFC Championship game, which they should. It's their preseason, too. They got to ramp up for early September. But nobody's winning here. The players aren't. The coaches aren't. The fans certainly aren't. I don't know that the teams are benefiting a whole lot. And maybe this sounds just like a big picture kind of common sense thought. When nobody's winning, why are we doing it? I guess someone is. The owners. The owners are winning.
Yeah.
That's probably
who. So I remember I read
wins.
A study years ago, and I couldn't find it just now during the break. But I definitely did. It's one of those things that I definitely read. It's influenced my thinking for so many years. The owners will have a really hard time giving up preseason football simply because they don't pay the same rates to their players, if anything at all. They treat the fans as if it's a regular season game. Now, this may have changed as fewer and fewer fans are going, but because they charge regular season prices, it's the actual best profit margin games that they have, and they want to keep them very, 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 very badly. That's why, even though the vestiges of the old time in the league, when guys needed the preseason to get themselves back into shape because they were smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey and working in a mill in the offseason, guys condition all year round. Almost everybody's in great shape, save the few that can't pass a conditioning test. Shout out Albert Haynesworth. But everybody else, it's an old, outdated thing. But the owners really, really want to keep it. So if they're going to give it up, something huge has to come back from the players. And maybe that's a few years ago. Maybe they updated their thinking since then as fewer and fewer people are going. But
how come we can't just agree now, add 2 regular season games, get rid of 2 preseason games? Players wouldn't prefer that to what's happening last night?
I think players would need more money. They would need larger roster sizes.
Well, you could start paying them more money on their next contract.
In the preseason games, those starters, the guys that are going to make the teams, aren't playing in the second half of games. They're not playing past the second quarter in 3 out of the 4. Some of them don't even do that.
Right, but they don't. They also don't enjoy standing on the sideline watching those guys and going through the motions for 2 weeks and a couple extra weeks, whether it's camp starting earlier of just, you know what players hate is like what the practices that are going on now, this week, getting ready for this game, where the only thing that could happen is they could get hurt. Nothing they do actually.
The best case, you don't get hurt.
They could have 6 sacks and it'll be forgotten in 4 days. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Agreed.
Chris Russell covers the Redskins as our insider. He'll be on the show with us next. Sean Doolittle next hour at 11:45. Also, one of the managers in Major League Baseball suggested something that when I first heard it, I thought it was a joke and it was a terrible idea, but the more I thought about it, I actually am on board with this wacky, wacky suggestion. We'll get into that next hour of D&D here on the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.